miracle worker. We're about to pray to the promise keeper. We're about to pray to the light in the darkness. That is who you are, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So prepare our hearts and our minds to receive the word of God. Amen. So together we are going to greet, amen, the name of God in the form of Pastor Kim. Amen. Can we greet him with a hearty praise the Lord? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. We do bless the Lord today for being here. We thank God for all of you that took the time out of your busy schedule to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. Amen. Can we all just say hallelujah? We thank God for my wife, blessing her through all of her challenges to be here. We thank God for all of you. Amen. Amen. Let us stand at this time for our scripture reading. We're going to stand at our scripture reading. We just thank God for all that he's doing. Isn't it wonderful to feel God's presence? Amen. The scripture says, where the presence of the Lord is, us. Anything else, I can trust God. Anybody just want to trust God?
We are standing strong in the name of the Lord. God will call us others to be relegated or delegated to an institution. Lord, just set us free. Lord, others were bound in addiction. Oh God, but today we are free. No longer in chains holding us. No longer bound. So Lord, for that we say thank you. And Lord, we ask you to send a word of anointing. Lord, we ask you to be in this place. Lord, we ask you for your presence to saturate this environment. Lord, break every chain in the name of Jesus. Lord, send a word to set the captives free. Lord, send a word in the name of Jesus. The open blind eye. Lord, just send a word. Hallelujah. So we don't leave out of church the same way we came in. For your word is he whom the Son set free is free. Lord, set us free. For that we thank you. Can the church say in Jesus' name?
In Jesus' name.
Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. We just thank God. How many know that God is my salvation?
Amen.
Amen. Salvation means God is your deliverer. God is your way maker. And because God is my salvation, I will trust. Can we say, I will trust? Come on, come and say, I will trust. You know what salvation and trusting God says? Lord, I don't understand how you want to do it, but my confidence and faith is that you will do it. And you'll do it according to your will. Can we say hallelujah? I'm going to read a couple of other verses of scripture before we give you the title of our message. Amen. So let us go to Psalms 51. And we're going to read, I'm going to read verses 10 through 12. Now, our subject today is about what?
Joy.
Somebody said, if you know the struggle I've seen in my life, you know I don't have joy, then you need to know the Lord. Because if you know the Lord, no matter what you have, joy. Amen. Psalm 51, verse 10 reads, create in me a Lord, just make me over. I want my joy back. Anybody want your joy back? Because God is your protector. God is your keeper. So if the devil steals your joy, that means he has more power than the God of your salvation. So he can't steal your joy, but you can surrender your joy. Amen. How many want that joy, man? This is David, the sweet songs of Israel. This is one of David's low points in his life spiritually. David has failed God. And David realized, God, the way I failed you, you can't use that anymore. That's all messed up. So David says, Lord, I don't want you to make this new. He said, I want you to create. When you create something, that means you make it out of nothing. He said, my heart is so messed up, don't use that heart. My mind is so messed up, Lord, don't use that mind. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a He said, listen, God, when I messed up, my heart was messed up. Lord, when I messed up, my spirit was wrong. He said, Lord, now I need you to recreate me. I need you to make me over again. He said, Lord, and cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy... He said, Lord, I know I've come up short. Has anybody ever felt wrong? Has anybody ever come up short? Amen. Ask God to make me over again. Lord, create in me a clean heart and create a right spirit. So David is dealing with his failing God. David is dealing with him coming up short of God. Now David expressed what it means for God to create a clean heart. And he expressed what it means for God to renew a right spirit. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Not my salvation. No, my salvation can be up and it can be down. My salvation can be one day great and the next day low. He said, but will you create this and restore me? He said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Now we're going to get to what is the joy of salvation? What does it all that mean? If I were to just take it in plain English, it'd be Lord, not my will. But thy will be done. Well, how do we know that? Let us go to Hebrews and the 12th chapter. Now we're talking about what today?
Joy.
What are we talking about?
Joy.
Now, how do you know there's a huge difference between joy and happiness?
Right.
Happiness is I got all the money I want. Mm-hmm. My life is growing well, so I'm happy. Mm-hmm. Joy says if I don't have a dime in my pocket, I still not joy. These are for my special critics. Not even your special critics sometimes come out of your own house.
Jesus.
Verse 1 reads, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now listen to what the scripture says. What are the witnesses? All of Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. From starting from Abel all the way up, these are the witnesses. So he said, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Why? Because they had challenges, but they overcame. They had challenges, but they didn't quit on God. Amen? He said, let them lay aside
everything.
You know what makes them wait to stretch you? When you're going through stuff, you don't see God because you're focused on the weights. So he said, lay aside every weight. Well, what is your weight? Weight is your distraction. Your way is what's preventing you from seeing God in the midst of your circumstances. As long as God is in the midst of your circumstances, you still have joy. Because you're not focusing on the circumstances, but our focus is on Jesus. He laid aside every way and not sin, but what? The sin. He's very particular. He's very specific. There's something in your life that's preventing you from having joy. He didn't say a sin. He said what? The sin. And every last one of us today, if we don't have joy, we know what the way is, and we know what the sin is. We know what's preventing us from having the joy of the Lord. Can we say hallelujah? He said, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily. Well, what does the weight and the sin do? It makes us lose our focus. So we're no longer focusing on the God of our salvation. Amen. If it's a health challenge, I can't praise God because of my health challenge. So a health challenge becomes a weight. It's because when all of the praising God, you sit next to him, I wish I felt like you. Don't you know that when you because we have next and not enough of Jesus. We learned last week that you have to pay a price to be saved. What's the price? You have to first deny yourself. If we just get right there and stop, most of us are already in trouble. Because the only reason you don't get saved is you're in your own way. That's the only reason nobody gets saved. Because you're in your own way. Right? Because if you get out the way, then we will be able to sing a song like we used to sing, "Dear Lord, I come with holy nothing.
Yes.
And I have but one desire. All that I have is on the altar. And I pray, Lord, send the fire." So the reason you don't have joy, the reason you don't can't smile, the reason you are crying all the time is because you haven't surrendered your will to God's will. Because once you surrender your will, then you have joy. Paul says that I may know him. Well, Paul, how do you want to know Jesus? The power of his resurrection, but also the fellowship of his suffering. So sometimes when you say, yes, you suffer, but that don't take your joy. Well, if you knew all the trouble I had and all the things that happened, well, that's why I didn't come to church for the last 5 or 6 months, because I was having trouble. You were living in happiness. You did not have joy. Because joy is not my will, but thy will be done. Let me go to John the 15th chapter, and let us go to verse 9. Now, we're talking about how do you get joy. Anybody want joy?
Yes.
Come on, who wants joy?
Yes.
I don't know anybody living that don't want joy. Because if you got joy, then you got the Lord.
Yes.
Anybody that has the Lord ought to have joy. Well, how do you know you have the joy and have the Lord? The Lord lives on every way. And listen, there's a particular something in all of our lives that the adversary knows when I crank this up, you're going to turn your back on God. He knows when you crank it up, you're not going to want to come to church. Can we plug us in?
Bless you.
The weight.
The weight.
Not a whole lot. There's something in every last one of our life that when, you know, it's like, you ever see the tuning fork? You hit a tuning fork, and that thing will play at the right music. It's just, there's a tuning spirit in you. All that everything got to do is hit it the right way, and it just keeps on vibrating. And when that tuning starts vibrating, you go away from church. So I say, well, if my husband went to church, I go to church. You don't have joy.
All right, Jesus. Come on. Come on.
Because joy is not based on a relationship on earth.
Right.
Your joy should be based on your relationship with
God.
Well, if I go to church, you know how much trouble my spouse ain't gonna mess with husband or wife. I'm gonna say spouse. You'll fill in the gaps. If I go to church, you know how much trouble I have. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The reason you don't have no strength, you don't have no joy. And the reason you don't have no joy is because you're not doing His will. So what we like to try to do, we like to try to outthink the devil. You can't do it. You cannot outthink the devil. You cannot outsmart the devil. Listen, who's the smartest man besides Jesus that ever lived? All right, come on, my preachers and Bible scholars. Who's the smallest man that ever lived? That's right, Solomon. Did the devil trick him? The smartest man that ever lived, you know why? The Bible says, I believe it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, in his old age, he allowed his love for his strange wives to turn his heart away from his God. So as long as he was in God, the devil couldn't get him. Because the scripture says, Jesus said, I'll be a fence all around you. But once you start getting in yourself, once you start pleasing others, hallelujah, you get away from God. So the wisest man that ever lived lost out with God because of his relationships. Hallelujah. The number one relationship you should be concerned with is, Lord, what do you think about me? Do we ever ask yourself that question?
Amen.
Most of I want God to tell me what he thinks. I want God to tell me, Lord, what do you think about me? If everybody's patting you on my back, say, yeah, brother and sister, so for you, all this and that, and whatever piece of bubble gum and all that stuff. God said, but I've sent you, and I know you, and I'm acquainted.
Ego.
Right.
It's about stirring your spirit.
Yes.
It's about getting you where you need
you in my what?
Love.
And he said, if you love me,
keep my commandments.
So somebody said, I'm all in God's love. You can't get this love unless you
keep
his commandments. Verse 10 says, if you keep my, my commandments, you shall abide. So how do I give him God's love? I have to do what?
Your joy might be empty.
Full.
I put a mirror in front of you, I'll give you everybody an answer.
Jesus.
You're your own worst problem. We pray. Now listen. I don't have enough time to get through all this right. Listen. Jesus is our greatest example that ever lived.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So he told Peter in Luke 27 chapter, he said, Satan has desired to have you, then he may.
Yes.
In other words, he said, I'm going to tear your life apart. He said, but the one sustaining part of your life that you don't have to worry about, he said, I prayed for you. Listen. He said, but I prayed for you. He said, now when you are converted, strengthen your brother. Right? So Jesus prayed, so even though Peter almost fell, God had prayed for him so he recovered. So then he tells his disciples, not only am I praying for you, but for those that shall believe on me through your words. So you don't have to be back there. All you have to do is believe on him through his
God understands all my problems.
Yes, God. You know, God is our perfect example. He understands everything we went through. Because he's a high priest. Tempted with all the feelings of our infirmities that we are tempted with. Yet without sin. So what's the problem? Get out of the way. Tell God, how many want complete deliverance? How many want true joy?
Well, I'm doing, you know,
how many of us, I don't know what, it used to be, let's make a deal. I don't know what they got on these things. Right? So how many of us are in the spiritual church of making a deal? God, I'm going to do this for you if you do this for me. Come on, y'all, I ain't the only one that grew up young and didn't know better. God, if you do this, I'll do that. God said, you got to go backwards. You're supposed to do what I do here regardless.
Amen.
Because joy is doing my will.
Amen.
So stop giving God, well, God, if you give me this right, and she has to be all of this and all these conditions, if you do all this, then I'll serve you. God said, you can't serve me. Because you got an idol. Mm. No, what's right?
Amen.
If you don't say amen, can you say ouch? God, I'll serve you, but you got to give me this kind of husband, this kind of wife, and this kind of husband. God said, well, I can't help you right now until you learn to surrender. Because you just put that before me. Because you can't serve me until you get that. God said, then you got it backwards. You're supposed to serve me, then I will give you that.
Yes. Amen.
To make for God to give you for you to serve God. Right? You know, like I was in college a couple of years ago. The wife, she said, you need some water. But I was in college a couple of years ago. And you know, when you're in the college, I was in the college where when I graduated, I would have been making six figures. Right there, I can almost get out of four figures. Right? But I got to the point, even in college, I was a decent athlete, and all that. Life was empty. It was empty. So I said, Lord, you know what? I'm doing all of this, and I still don't have joy. I don't have peace of mind. I didn't understand then, I was asking God to get me saved. Because I didn't get saved right away. When I was in college the first year, I got saved the second year. But there was an emptiness. Playing sports, traveling, doing this, going here, going that, doing the other, and all of the stuff, but still there was an emptiness. I just couldn't have joy. And I would pray and say, God, I got to get joy. I heard somebody say, I went to the church one night.
Right.
And my heart
wasn't right.
Wasn't right. But don't you know something got a hold?
Yes.
I said something got a hold of me.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to finish in Nehemiah chapter 8, and I give you our topic. I know it's a topic. Talk so much, we know we have the topic. We're going to finish in the 8th chapter of Nehemiah. Move out of God's way.
Amen.
Move yourself out of God's way. We should learn to pray just like Jesus prayed. Not my will,
but
thy
will.
It's really hard to do. You know why? Because you've ruled your life for so long, you don't want to surrender. It's hard. Listen, think of all your plans. But how many of your plans included God's plan? All your plans. But how many of those plans included
God's plan?
My plan was to be in Atlanta. Yes, yes, yes. I was so tired of New York in 2007. I thought I was on my way. But I had to surrender my will to God's will. You can never be what God wants you to be till you learn total surrender. Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, we're going to start in the 8th verse. I'm going to finish here. It says, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly. There was no ambiguity, there was no confusion. They wore what they read out distinctly and gave a sense and caused them to understand the reading. So it's so important when you read the word, you have to also
understand.
You have to understand. And Nehemiah, which is in Tirshahatha, and Ezra the priest and the scribes and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is
holy
unto the Lord your God. Mourn not. Listen, you're in the right place. Don't mourn. Don't weep. And please, don't leave out of church. If you came in broken, don't leave broken. If you came in the church and your whole life seemed like it was running along, don't leave the same way you came in. If you came in church and, let me put it this way. If some of you battled to get to church, don't leave like you came in. You just barely made it because you really didn't want to be here. But look what God has done, and look how God is speaking to you. Well, because I have to be well, guess what? Every word that you hear, the Bible says you have to give an account for it. Because His word will not return for it. All right, let me finish this up. It says, this day is holy unto the Lord your God, more not nor we. For all, when they heard the book of the law, this is when they came out of Babylon and they found out how far away from God they were. When they found out they had distanced themselves from God. When they heard the word of God, all the people wept. When they heard the words of the law, then He said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portion unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is
holy.
For this day is what?
Holy
unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry for the
joy of the Lord is your strength.
For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And then I like doing word study, so I did a word study for joy of the Lord. And it's a Hebrew pictograph with its chet, dalet, and hey. Alright, I know you don't have time for all that, so I'm going to explain it to you. Chet is a fence. Dame is a door. He is behold or look. So check Dame, he means that the joy comes from being in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
That's where your strength comes from, being in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
So my question today is, how many of us have lost our strength?
Wow.
Then you need to get If you ain't home or on your job or you're driving down the street, you ever have some of those moments when you say, Lord, I need some help? When you begin to praise the Lord, His presence comes. Because God inhabits the praise of His people. So when you learn to praise God, you're getting His presence. Then all of a sudden, everybody trying to figure out, why are you so happy? And everything in your life is coming apart. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now back in chapter 3. This is a matter of right to the children of Israel. Just to let you know, life does not have to be perfect for you to have joy. Your life does not have to be perfect for you to shout. Your life does not have to be perfect for you to praise God. He said, although the fig tree, verse 17. I want that to put on the screen so you can read it with me. Now listen, he's talking about when the hard times come. When you don't even have food on your table. You don't have to worry about other things. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom. Neither shall fruit be in the vine. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flocks shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the. Even though I don't have all of my necessities, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. What do you say? Work on the game.